Conspiracy fact. Something was seriously wrong with the 2020 election, the first in a new series, written and read by Tom Gilson, published on the stream on January 8, 2023, and copyright by the stream. It was a great holiday dinner. Family members had come from three different states and brought at least three different states of mind. Thank God we were raised to love each other, because we sure had differences of opinions on some things, including, quote, conspiracy theories that I would now call conspiracy facts. I kept wishing I had the right answer on the tip of my tongue, the quick, simple point with all the data to back it up. Oh well, lesson learned. It's too late for those holiday dinners now, but it's not too late to get ready for conversations yet to come. I'm doing the work now I wish I'd done before. I'm sharing it with you here at the stream, and I'm launching a series covering many of these conspiracy facts. I'm starting with conspiracy fact one. There was something seriously wrong with a 2020 election. Was it stolen? I don't know. Is there room to wonder about it? Absolutely yes. Is there something seriously wrong about the lack of any serious investigation? Definitely. There's corruption going on so plainly and out in the open, you can ask your brother-in-law across the table to pull it up on his cell phone and he'll have the proof right there in his own hands. You must aim for the right objective in this conversation, though. We're talking about dinner conversation, that is, not a criminal trial. You can't possibly expect to prove the election was stolen. You can show, however, that if there's anyone messing with American democracy, it's not those of us who are asking questions. It's the ones who say we shouldn't ask. Know where to focus. Here's how you can show that in actual conversation. How to keep it simple and focused, and how to produce the evidence that will prove your point. I would concentrate on these three main points I'm about to share, especially number three. You could start with either number one, two, or three, depending on what's been brought up so far. And I'll mention that number two is the least powerful and hardest to prove over meat and potatoes, but you'll probably want to be ready for it anyway. Here's the list of three points to concentrate on. First, if they call you an election denier, show them it's an empty label, a self-serving rhetorical trick. Two, if they say it was crazy to question the election in the first place, you can show it was more sensible than not questioning. And three, you can show that the whole business of telling, quote, election deniers to shut up is corrupt, and it's a threat to democracy. That's the fun one, or it would be if it weren't so serious, because you can get your brother-in-law to prove it on his own mobile phone. Number one, election denier is corrupt rhetoric. The left loves its labels, don't they? Election denier sounds a lot like Holocaust denier, and I'll guarantee you that's no coincidence. It's not that we're that bad, it's that they want to label us as if we were. It's shorthand, really, for you're a bad person. There's something wrong with you for questioning the election. Shame on you. Either straighten yourself out or shut up and go away. All that wrapped up neatly in two short words. Did you notice how it changes the subject, though? You start out talking about the election, the evidence, the outcome, and all of a sudden they're talking about you and the rotten shape of your character. That's no accident either. Anything to keep from looking at the facts. It's a lie, too. You're not an election denier. If you are, please leave the country, okay? I take election denier, the label, to be someone, accurately applied, that is, of course, to be someone who denies elections in general. Or maybe it's someone who would say, yes, America voted for Biden in 2020, but we don't care, we don't accept it. Put them on the defensive instead of you. I've never met anyone who says that, though. I've only met people who say they're not sure we had a secure, honest, high-integrity election, so we can't be sure America really did vote for Biden. For that, they want to pin a label of shame on you. I'm sorry, but I don't feel the least bit bad about wanting integrity in our elections. Well, how do you handle that in conversation? I'd start with this question and follow where it leads. The question goes like this. It starts with a statement. I'm talking about the election and evidence, and you're talking about me putting a label on me. Why are you so much more concerned about me than you are about our elections? That's called putting them on the defensive. Do it. Do it boldly. Keep them there. Make sure they know you're not buying a thing they're selling. You're standing for America's election integrity, and you're not sure that we met the standard last time. Ask them why they're not just as concerned about it. That's point number one. Now, number two, the second point I recommend you concentrate on, which is the questions were never crazy. You can expect them now to go straight to their next favorite line. There's no doubt about this election, and there never was any. Look at all the court cases your side lost. Well, that's simply not true. There was reason to wonder before Election Day, actually. Mail-in and drop-off balloting opened huge opportunities for fraud. That's a fact everyone knew until about 26 months ago when Democrats conveniently forgot about it. There was reason to wonder on election night, too, when the counting went crazy with unprecedented tally stoppages and vote spikes. And there was reason to wonder during the weeks after the election. We had definite evidence of compromised voting machines. There were long lists of process irregularities. Strange statistical and historical anomalies kept cropping up. Not to mention the sheer unlikeliness of a Biden victory given the kind of campaign he ran, or slept through, more accurately. Is it crazier to ask questions about that or to ignore it and say, everything's just fine? It was crazy and corrupt not to investigate. It was crazy not to investigate it. Yes, Trump's team tried. Yes, they failed. You have to grant that. But you also need to put it in context. His people never built a strong public case that Hunter Biden's laptop contained damning information either. They never won the public over on the FBI's unspeakably corrupt Russia collusion case against Trump. Both of those have now been shown to be true. I'll cover them in other conspiracy articles yet to come. And by the way, if you go to the original, this article that I'm reading to you right now, you'll find links to support other things that I have been saying along the way. Anyway, the Trump team never did show that Hunter Biden's laptop was evidence of a problem. They never demonstrated FBI corruption. These things have both now been shown to be true. What this tells us is that the country's primary investigative bodies, law enforcement and the media, had a vested interest in doing harm to Trump. You have to wonder if things would have turned out differently if they'd done their job, if they'd followed the leads and found out what was really going on in that election. Now, that's a what if, and we can't prove what if, so I wouldn't try to oversell it if I were you, but we can still point out the stench surrounding the whole affair. So that's the second point. The first one was election denier is corrupt rhetoric. The second point was the questions were never crazy. And the third point has to do with the movie 2000 Mules. You may have seen Dinesh D'Souza's documentary 2000 Mules. If not, you can still read the book, and you should. It's jammed full of solid, verifiable physical evidence to support his claims of systematic, widespread ballot box stuffing, enough to steal the election. In fact, the technology used to track the mules is the same technology law enforcement used to track the Idaho mass murder suspect. Is it proof of election stealing? It might be. I'm in no position to say for certain, and neither are you, and neither is your conversation partner. What you can say for sure is that it's evidence. You might even mention that it's so compelling. In a Rasmussen poll, 73% of Democrats who saw the film would recommend it. And now is when you ask your relative to pull out his cell phone. You'll be amazed. Ask your conversation partner to pick up his phone and search the web for a review of the movie. Just about any review will do. The best ones are the ones that call themselves fact checks. Read a few paragraphs and see how they handle it. Here's a sample from Reuters. Quoting now from Reuters. In another scene in the film, a woman wearing a face mask and gloves is seen posting a ballot before turning to place her gloves in a nearby bin. It is claimed in the documentary that she is a, quote, mule because she was wearing gloves to hide her fingerprints and did not look at the bin, so must have had prior knowledge of it being there. The documentary makers did not appear to consider the possibility that the woman was wearing gloves along with her face mask as a personal protective measure against COVID-19. End of quote. Or in other words, according to Reuters, there's room for reasonable doubt. You get the same kind of thing in just about every mainstream review. They pounce triumphantly on Dinesh D'Souza, telling him his film proves nothing in it. And it feels so right when they do that, doesn't it? Reasonable doubt is the standard, isn't it? No proof? Then don't bother asking, even though it could be the most outrageous heist in history. Here's where you hope your conversation partner is nodding his head and saying, yes, yes, that is the right standard, reasonable doubt. Then you tell him the fable of the judge and the detective, which is in a sidebar on the original article on the stream. I'll read that to you now. The judge and the detective, a short fable to help you with point number 3. You'll enjoy this. The judge calls the detective to the bench, a scowl on his face. It has come to my attention, he says, that you've been tipped off on a possible extortion case. That's correct, Your Honor. The tip came in this morning. Do you have proof of this so-called crime? Growls the judge. No, Your Honor. Our source gave us plenty of details to work with, but we haven't started work on it yet. Details don't impress me, detective. I need to know if you've given those details real thought. Yes, Your Honor, we were about to take a look at the scene. Not yet, detective. Think. Is there no alternate way to interpret the info you were given? Are you even sure a crime was committed? Do you know it beyond a reasonable doubt?
No, we don't, Your Honor. We haven't even begun the investigation.
Then don't. Don't start it. The standard for criminal cases is reasonable doubt, remember? If there's room for reasonable doubt, you have no reason, you have no business looking into it.
That's the end of the fable. Reasonable doubt is indeed the standard for criminal conviction. It's not the standard that determines whether to investigate. The judge says, is there any other possible explanation for your info? If so, then don't investigate. There is evidence. Evidence pointing toward what could be the most outrageously criminal act in American history. It's not proof, though. So no one wants to investigate it. Even the newspapers. Is that not strange? Or maybe, just maybe, the reason no one wants to investigate it is because if it's true, then their side loses. Maybe they're afraid that if they looked into it, they'd end up having to deny Joe Biden won the election. If they did, they wouldn't be election deniers. They'd be truth supporters. The crazy thing is that they're not investigating and never have. So who are the real crazies here? If Biden and the Democrats had the goods to show it really was the, quote, most secure election in American history, end quote, you'd think they would have jumped in and investigated it more enthusiastically than any Republican. Instead, they're content with saying, like the judge in the fable, no proof, then don't investigate. They'll even tell you it's wrong to want to find out. Of all the strange things about the 2020 election, none is stranger than that. The fact that you've noticed it's strange doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Remember, you do not need to prove the election was stolen. You only need to show there's something wrong with anyone who doesn't see there are problems there, or doesn't think that it matters, or doesn't care.